Hello, hello, and welcome to the seventh episode of the Self-Help Podcast. I'm your host, Kayla, and today we are going to be talking about the lessons that I've learned from my divorce. If you don't already know, I am currently going through a divorce right now, and I did want to share what I learned based on the last 5.5 years of being with someone and 3 years of marriage. I wanted to share what I wish I would have known before I got in this relationship. Without further ado, let's just hop right into the episode. So the first lesson that I learned is to set boundaries and respect your own boundaries. I didn't necessarily have too difficult of a time setting boundaries, but I didn't respect my boundaries because what I would do is I would allow my ex to kind of like persuade me into compromising on certain things and like compromising on my boundaries. For example, I didn't really want to be on his YouTube channel a lot of the times. Sometimes I was fine with it and then other times I wasn't, but I feel like he kind of persuaded me into doing it and I felt pressured to be on his channel. Instead of me respecting my boundaries of saying, no, I don't want to do that, I still decided to do it because I felt pressured. One thing I've learned recently is that even if you're feeling pressured to do something, you still have free will. And it's not like there was a gun to my head, you know? So I definitely probably could have said no and respected my no. And maybe it would have started a fight, who knows? But the one thing I want to get across here is when you set a boundary, you have to respect it. Otherwise, the other person will not respect you. If you set a boundary with someone and you say, hey, I don't like this and I don't want to do this, and then you go and do it anyways, even though they may have persuaded you or whatever the case may be, then you are showing that person that you actually don't respect your boundaries and your boundaries aren't that important to you. And that when you say no, it's likely that they can persuade you to say yes in the future. So that's what you're teaching that person. You teach others how to treat you with the boundaries that you set with them. If they don't respect your boundaries, then you need to walk away. And I think that's something that I lacked was the courage to walk away because I didn't really have a lot of self-worth in the beginning. And then towards the end of it, that's when I started to develop more of self-worth. And I then started to respect myself. And when you start to respect yourself, you will then see who actually respects you and who doesn't respect you. Because a normal response to somebody setting a boundary, such as me not wanting to be in a YouTube video, would be, okay, I understand. If in the future you want to, just let me know. Simple as that. It's not a normal response to persuade that person and kind of guilt trip that person into doing it. That's what I felt. And so I do forgive myself for not respecting my own boundaries because it was very difficult in that situation to respect my boundaries. The lesson is to respect your boundaries and also stay firm in them and be willing to walk away if needed. The second thing I learned is to trust my intuition. From the very beginning of that relationship, I had a gut feeling that something was off, that something wasn't right. I'm not gonna say what that thing was, but I was right about it. Up until the very end, I had a gut feeling and I would just push it away and I would stop listening to my intuition. And honestly, I think it like stunted my like psychic ability growth, to be honest, because I wasn't listening to what was coming through to me and I didn't really understand it as a psychic ability. But then once I started to listen to it more, I then started to see the red flags and the signs even more of what was going on. And then I got really mad at myself for not listening to my intuition sooner because this all could have been prevented. You know, at the end of the day, I do need to forgive myself, but I do want to say that because if you have a gut feeling about a person, even if you don't exactly know what it is, it's probably right and it's probably trying to protect you from something. Another thing that I learned was my values and my love languages. Before I was with my ex, I actually didn't really know much about my values or love languages. And one of my values is spending time with the other person on special occasions and holidays, especially birthdays. I love birthdays so much because For one, you know, I had some bad experiences with birthdays growing up, and so now that I'm an adult, I can shape it the way that I want to, and I recognize it as a celebration of your life, what has happened so far in your life, and like an excitement in a way for your future. So birthdays are extremely important to me, and especially holidays, and I didn't realize that before. And one thing that would happen with my ex is that he would get sick on holidays and special occasions, like pretty much every single one. And if he wasn't sick, he wouldn't be in the best mood. I don't know what that was all about. He didn't really have the same values as me, and I didn't really understand that in the beginning, because at first I was like, oh, he's sick. You know, I'm not gonna get mad at somebody for being sick, but it happened like every time. It happened like every single holiday, every single birthday. And I'm not talking about like sick, like a cold. I'm talking like flu-like symptoms, like just like very like in the bed, not able to do anything and not able to have any energy. And I don't really know what that was all about. But what I do know is that it did start to get to me over time, because I found myself on holidays just not being happy and not having anybody to spend them with. I would literally choose to spend the holiday with him rather than my family. Like one of the Christmases, he just slept all day. And I was very upset, and there was like no reason for it really. And so yeah, I was like really upset about it, and I really could have just went up to New York and spent that time with my family, but I decided to spend that time with him. So it did make me feel awful for that. So yeah, one of my really big core values is spending time together, like quality time. I think it's important to be with somebody who has a similar love language, or a love language that you vibe with, that you also feel love when you do it. Because for example, his love language was acts of service, and I would do those things, but it wasn't necessarily, like I didn't feel love when I did those things. I felt it was like a chore, and I know that probably sounds bad, but I ended up feeling like his mom. You know, like cooking, cleaning, like that type of stuff. So I ended up feeling like his mom in a way. And my love languages, so I love all of the love languages, by the way. I think acts of service is probably the lowest, because I'm pretty independent and I can do things myself. Of course, I appreciate it if somebody does something for me, but my love languages are gifts, which I used to have shame around because I used to see it as like materialistic, when that's really not why I like gifts. I like gifts because it's like a physical representation of the love someone has for me. And that's not saying like one gift is better than the other, or one gift means someone loves me more than the other. You know what I mean? It's just like if somebody were to give me a crystal, for example, every time I hold that crystal and every time I look at that crystal, I think of that person and I think about how much I love and care for that person. Yeah, and so I also love quality time, like I mentioned. I love physical touch. What's the other one? I know there's acts of service. There's another one that I'm missing. Oh, words of affirmation. I like that too, but it doesn't really necessarily, like that's not like my core love language. Of course, I like to be complimented. Who doesn't? But it's not necessarily what I need in a partner. I think it's really important to be with somebody who is able to give you your love languages, you know? And I remember in the beginning of my relationship with my ex, he did not like physical touch at all. He's from a different country, so their culture is very different in that aspect. And so my love language wasn't physical touch, but I was getting like none, you know, other than like sex, but I was getting like none, no cuddles, like no hugs. And I was just like, this is weird. And I'm a hugger. I love hugging people. So yeah. And so I was just kind of like, I don't feel loved. And when someone's not loving you in your love language, you start to not feel loved. That was like a thing in the beginning. And I had to like convince him to like hug me and cuddle with me, which you shouldn't have to really convince someone to do those things, because they should just love you in the way that you want to be loved. And if they don't, then maybe they're not the right match for you. And of course you can learn love languages. I'm not saying that it's like a done deal if like someone can't do those things, but I think it is very important to love someone in the love languages that they like and to also be able to receive that back. And so I did learn my love languages, which is really nice. And I think it took me not feeling loved to know my love languages and to know my values. So I'm really grateful for that lesson because I think it's really important and kind of overlooked a lot. Another lesson that I learned is that, and this doesn't really pertain to romantic relationships, just relationships in general, but you don't need closure to heal. After I told him I wanted a divorce, I really wanted closure of, like, I just wanted answers to things. Like, I wanted answers of, like, why were you with me? Like, you know, so many different things. And in the reality, it doesn't really matter what that person's intentions were. What matters is how you feel about it and allowing yourself to feel those emotions. And you don't necessarily have to, like, drill them on why were you with me type of stuff. You know, everybody has different intentions, and maybe sometimes the intentions might not be what you want them to be, and sometimes it will hurt a lot less for you not to get the closure that you think you need. It's up to you, and it is a choice to just heal and move on and feel your emotions rather than to constantly be asking that person like certain questions about the relationship so that you can get closure. Because really, what is that going to do for you at the end of the day? If you're already broken up or you're already not, you know, in a relationship with this person, why, like, it really doesn't matter to get closure. And one thing that I've heard people do, I haven't done it myself, but to write a letter to the person and then burn it or flush it down the toilet, like something, to write a letter to that person and never send it to them, just to get all of your feelings out. And I think that that could be really good. I've already like journaled about it. I didn't necessarily like write him a letter, but yeah, I think that that could be really helpful if you feel like you need closure and you're not getting it. But yeah, one of the lessons I learned is that you just don't need closure to heal. Another lesson that I learned is to look at things objectively without having emotions involved. And what I mean by this is if somebody's mistreating you or you feel like there's a problem in the relationship, think to yourself, like, okay, on an objective level, is this okay? And it does not matter what their excuses are, okay? Because sometimes the excuses can get in your head and, like, you know, people will say why they did a certain thing or whatever, and you'll try to like have compassion for them and empathize with them, and then it just kind of invalidates your own feelings and your own judgments on what is going on. So my recommendation is if you're feeling like cloudy on a specific thing that you're going through in a relationship, to take a step back and say, okay, if my friend were to tell me that her man was doing this to her, what would I say? And if the answer is to leave him or, you know, along those lines, then you have your answer. But I wish that I would have thought of this before, because I wasn't telling my friends my problems until probably like the very end, and then when I divorced. And then I told them everything and they were shook. Yeah, so I wasn't really saying everything. And then I went to therapy, and then my therapist was like, girl, what is going on here? So yeah, I really recommend for you to, if you don't feel comfortable telling your friends your relationship problems, which it's not that I didn't feel comfortable, I just had a lot of respect for my relationship and I didn't want to tell my friends the problems because, you know, it just doesn't lead to anything good. But now I kind of wish I did. But yeah, take a step back and say, okay, if my friend told me this was happening to her, what would I say? And then you have your answer. The next lesson I learned is that you cannot search for love outside of you. And what I mean by this is I think in the beginning of this relationship, I wanted him to love me when I didn't love myself. And I never really understood the saying that goes, okay, you can't love anybody unless you love yourself, or nobody can love you unless you love yourself. People can love you at the capacity that you love yourself, and people will treat you at the capacity that you treat yourself. So if someone's treating you poorly, ask yourself, how am I treating myself? Because if somebody's treating you poorly, even if you're not necessarily treating yourself bad, you then are treating yourself bad if you allow that behavior to continue and you teach that person that that's okay to treat you like that. And then that is an act of not loving yourself. It is difficult when you don't love yourself to be in a relationship because you then just attract like a mirror, you know, and that person will treat you badly so that you are able to consciously see at some point how badly you're treating yourself. And then another thing that I learned is that you cannot change anybody. I recently talked about this in my video on my main channel. It's called Higher Self Vlogs. And I talked about this on my main channel, and it's pretty much that you cannot change anybody. I was trying to change him and fix him because my parents were emotionally unavailable, and so I attracted an emotionally unavailable man into my life to fill that void of my parents, pretty much. And I tried to fix him and I tried to change him because I felt like if I could fix him and change him and somehow convince him to love me, right? Like, he didn't really like love me at first, and I was trying to convince him to love me. If I could do that, then I would feel good enough, and then I would feel worthy of my parents' love, and then I would feel worthy of loving myself. And that is just insane logic. Like, I didn't think of this, okay? This was all subconscious, but when I think about it now, I'm just like, oh my God, this is what was happening, and I wasn't consciously aware of it, but now I am, and I'm not proud of it at all, but that is like how I ended up attracting him into my life, because I had that core wound of my parents being emotionally unavailable and then wanting to fix my parents so that I could be fixed. And the thing is that other people's healing is not your responsibility, and other people healing will not make you heal. It might help you a little bit, but it's not gonna fully make you heal. And when you heal with the intention of healing yourself and loving yourself, it might then inspire others to heal as well. And this is also something that I learned, because when I was going through the divorce, I was talking to my mom about it, and my mom was trying to convince me out of it. And she had good intentions, but she also, I'm sorry, mom, if you're watching, like, the girl had no standards, okay? She was living with a guy who had an alcohol problem, and he did not pay any of the bills. Like, she was paying everything, and he was just living at her place. Talk about not having standards. Sorry for saying this, mom, but it's the truth. So that said, when she was telling me not to divorce my ex, I had to think to myself, like, you don't understand what I'm going through, and you don't understand the big picture. And also, the fact that I told her everything and all the red flags, and she still was telling me to go to counseling and go to marriage counseling and work it out, just let me know that, like she had no standards. And that's where this was coming from. That's why I had no standards in the beginning. I think I had standards, but I didn't respect my standards. And I think the same goes for her. I think she does have standards. She just doesn't respect her standards enough to walk away when it's needed. She would put up with below the bare minimum, as did I. And so when I heard this coming from her, I felt like it was almost my ego in a way, trying to like get back in the relationship. And I had to tell my mom several times to stop telling me that. And she wouldn't stop telling me that. And finally, I was like, okay, mom, I'm not going to talk to you until this divorce is like set in stone and done, because I'm going through a lot of emotions right now, and I made my decision, and I don't need you to continue to tell me not to do it. Like, I don't need somebody in my ear telling me that. And so I didn't talk to my mom for probably about 3 weeks to a month. I'm talking to her now, and she's not bringing it up anymore, but I didn't talk to her for 3 weeks to a month. Guess what happened? Her and her boyfriend finally broke up after years. I never thought she'd leave him. I find it very, very interesting how I broke up with my ex, and not even a month later, she breaks up with her boyfriend. what are the odds? I never thought she'd leave him anytime soon. And that's why I say, like, when you focus on yourself and you focus on your own healing, your parents might follow along. And it might not be like a conscious thing, but it's an energetic shift in reality and in the universe. And it's an energetic shift in your family dynamics. Because I tell you what, when I told my ex that I wanted a divorce, I was crying. And as I was crying, I felt like I was releasing so many pent up emotions that weren't even mine. This was all ancestral wounding. And I felt like I was releasing like so many ancestral wounds. And oh my God, I'm literally getting cold chills as I'm saying this, because now that I healed and now that I respected my standards and my boundaries and I made the decision to walk away, my mom did as well. And even though she was telling me to work it out, because that's always been her mindset, work it out, work it out, work it out. What if you can't work it out anymore? Me and my ex did try. We tried very hard. What I will say though, is I wasn't about to ask him to go to marriage counseling because I already asked him in the past. I asked him 2 years ago and he didn't want to go because he didn't want to pay for it. And then I asked him like a year ago, he still didn't want to go. And I mentioned it to him recently and he still didn't go. And so that just goes to show, like, if he really respected me and wanted me, he would be with me, right? And so he could have had me. He could have kept me. That's the thing. He could have kept me in his life, but it was a decision not to because he did not respect me. This is all stuff that, like, if I would have heard this stuff before, it would have been new information to me because I just never thought of this stuff until now. But I think this is the last thing that I learned. If anything else comes to mind, I'll say it. But this one might be a little bit controversial because not everybody is in alignment with their purpose. However, I am now making the decision to not be with anybody in a romantic relationship unless I am fully embodied in my purpose and I am fully focusing on myself. Because at this point in my life, I do not have time to give my all to a person, first of all. Like, of course you do to an extent, but my ex used to be my number one priority. And I used to think there was nothing wrong with that. But now I am my number one priority, because if I'm not my number one priority, then I cannot show up as the best version of myself for somebody else. And I can't show up as the best version of myself for me. So what is the point of being with someone if you can't even love yourself enough? And here's the thing. When you love yourself, right? When you love yourself enough to take yourself out on solo dates, to do everything that is your standards for a man, because here's the thing, you can have standards for a man, but if you are not meeting up to those standards yourself, if you cannot provide those things for yourself, you might actually allow less from a man, okay? If he does not meet your standards, you'll be like, okay, well, you meet some of them. And I'm not talking about like surface level stuff like looks. I'm talking about like core values and what you expect from a man, right? And this can go either way. I know there's men watching this podcast too, but if I am not providing those things for myself, then I shouldn't be expecting a man to do the same for me, okay? And when I am providing those things for myself, I will then appreciate a man so much more for providing those things for me, such as taking me out on dates or spending quality time with me, and also core value stuff like conversations and knowledge. And I realized, like, my next relationship, I'm going to be with a man who's emotionally intelligent, who reads books, who's into spirituality, who also is into self-development and is constantly working on bettering themselves, because I am doing that. And if I'm doing that and I'm with a man who's not doing that, what's the point? If that man is not going to make my life better in any way, because I love my life the way it is right now, okay? If my life is gonna stay the absolute same when I'm with a man, there's no point, because I could just be that way with myself. But if my life becomes a little bit better when I'm with a man, then I'll be with him. Because it doesn't make sense to be with a man and then be stressing and be upset and constantly wondering about things and, you know, wondering about their intentions and this, that, and the other. It doesn't make sense. Why be with a man if he's gonna stress you out? I will not ever be with a man who stresses me out. I literally don't even have acne anymore. I do like hormonally, like when I get close to my menstrual cycle, but for the most part, my skin is really clear because I'm not stressed. I'm not stressed anymore. And I feel so much happier. That is why I will never be with a man again unless I'm fully embodied in my purpose, in my business, in myself, and I'm fully investing in myself. This is one thing that I recommend everybody do, and it's to go on solo dates, because how are you gonna get to know yourself if you're not taking yourself out on solo dates and experiencing new things? And I'm not talking about going to the same restaurant every single week. No. Take yourself out on different dates. Get to know yourself. See what you like. See what you don't like. And then you will get to know yourself a lot better. And once you are with a man, you will then be able to have that confidence within you and also attract somebody with that same energy. So if you're interested in solo dating, I actually have the perfect beginner's guide for you. This gives you 52 solo date ideas, and it has journal prompts as well, so you can document your solo dates, and it has everything you need to know about solo dating inside the workbook. So I'm gonna leave that linked down below if you're interested. And if you do end up getting the workbook, I would love to like see your solo dates on social media, and I'll repost you. Be sure to tag me on Instagram at higherself.activation. And I would absolutely love to see where you take yourself out on solo dates. Thank you so, so much for tuning into today's episode. I think that's everything that I wanted to mention. If I ever think of anything else, I might make a part two. I'm not sure. But this was, for the most part, what I learned in my marriage / divorce. Honestly, there's probably so much more that I learned, but I did feel like these were the most valuable lessons that I did learn. And I wanted to share them with you. So again, thank you so, so much for watching and tuning into today's episode. And I will see you in the next one. Have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your day.